whether or not we can get that bamboo thinned out, so we couldn't do it.
Because Springs Planning and Zoning Board will now come to order Wednesday, February the 27th. Anyone wishing to address the board will need to pick up our cards from our clerk. Anyone with cell phones, please turn them off or put them on vibrate. We'll have roll call, please.
Member Kelly?
Here.
Member Lewis?
Here.
Member Stevenson?
Present.
Member Lamb?
Here.
Member Perry?
Here.
Member Judge?
Here.
Attorney Arnold?
Here.
Here. I will have approval of the minutes of the January the 24th, 2013 meeting. Is there any discussion on the minutes?
A second.
Okay, roll call.
I'm sorry, who seconded it? Thank you. Board Member Kelly?
Yes.
Board Member Lewis?
Yeah.
Board Member Stevenson?
Yes.
Board Member Williams?
Yes.
Chairman Perry?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
I will now open the public hearing. Ms. Lee?
Yes. The owner of the property, Mr. Armandon, and I did talk to him this afternoon, so he's supposed to be here, at 462 the Vermont Street South, would like to have a home occupation. He came in for a business license, and we told him that he needed a home occupation special exception, which he applied for in order to do a computer repair. Most of his business, he actually goes on site to his clients that, you know, he might bring a computer home to work on or whatever. Anyways, in order to have that business license, we need to have the appropriate zoning, and we allow that through special exception. Any home occupation must meet the conditions of code section 102.415, and they're outlined in my staff reports 1-9. And it's not an and or, you have to do all 9. You have to comply with all 9. And he was aware of those and said we could meet it. We reviewed the special exceptions based on the code, that's the requirements that are criteria that is 9281, and those are in front of you for you to include it in the staff report. Based on the review of looking and what he's doing, staff recommends approval of 213-TZ-14 to allow a home occupation at 462 Vermont Street South with compliance with section 102.14 of the city code. Mr. Armandon, we called him this afternoon, that's why I know we talked to him, because he needs to pay for the advertising costs and the mailing, which he would not, we would not get the official special exception until he goes without action. I mean, he was going to bring the check tonight, so that's why I'm surprised he's not here, but anyway, if you do vote without him, that would be a condition that he would have to pay those fees, but he knows that he's aware of them. We're all talking, I think it was $70, $79 for the advertiser. So
that was, since there's no one here to speak to this issue in the public, I'll close the public hearing. I just had a few questions because I drove by there, and those houses are very close together. But the sign was in the yard, and nobody has shown up, so apparently nobody has a problem with that in the neighborhood.
He cannot change, the house would not change on the exterior at all. And he only can use a
small sign.
Yeah, he only can use his, it must be subordinate to the house and to the dwelling unit. He can only use, his home occupation can't be more than 20% of the house. This is like a bed in the house. He's only listing you. And he could do, there's a very small sign he could put up. He can't see one square foot, but that's it. Other than that, you would never know that he's doing it. And this is very common, especially in today's society, with a lot of home-based businesses where people are just internet businesses. Right. And a lot of communities are going towards where these are allowed by right. They're not even requiring residents coming for special exceptions. What we still do that allows their neighbors to know they did get... There were 19 notices passed out, and notices that were mailed out to neighbors that didn't know about it. So. we're on your issue now, if you want to come to state your name to the...
Madam Chairman, you can reopen the public hearing.
Okay.
I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, I think we need to reopen the public hearing. Would you state your name, please?
Ravindra Armagan.
Okay, and your address?
462 South Vermont Street.
Okay. And Ms. Sweet was just explaining that you want to have a business occupation in your home. And we were discussing, it's open now if anybody would like to ask any questions.
So what, like most of your work is being done off-site?
It's actually remote services, most of it. So it's being done from the home office, but it doesn't drive any traffic to the home or anything
right.
like that.
You've got a wide road there, too. It's not a congested type.
No, it's not.
Narrow city street.
Right.
But I went by and I thought it was appropriate. My look from the neighborhood standpoint.
Yeah, and also no traffic can be generated by the home occupation. It would be greater than the volume that would be normally expected by residential neighborhood. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. in your house, you might have a friend come by here or there, so you can't stop anybody stopping by. But you wouldn't be able to ride down the street and say, "Oh, there's four cars here every day. Something's happening." Yet. You know, if he had one car here or there. Just like a house, you know, you have it.
Okay. So you've gone over all these conditions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions?
I do.
You did, you have the fee that Ms. Quinn called you?
I need to get the check for you guys.
Okay.
I can do that right after this.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes, Chairman, I have part of this is a learning experience for me because I've not dealt with one of these particular issues before, so don't be taken aback by my question. It's a learning opportunity for me. And at some point, some of this gets seemingly silly, but his home, it's not required to be ADA compliant, is it?
No, it's not.
Good.
I mean, he's required to meet the building code when it was built. But he's not. That's why he's not allowed to change anything. Because the whole idea of these kind of home occupations is that he's not generating traffic. The whole idea of an ADA for a business would be that.
Now, what I can see is in the future, when the world sees his website and hears about the magnificent service he provides, then the whole, you know, we're not going to be bumper to bumper coming down 17.
Hope would be on a home occupation that he does so well that he would move to.
Yeah.
One of our vacant commercial spaces.
Yes, that would be.
I would have to hire a couple people.
I got
right.
it. But
and
so
if
what is today is not necessarily what will be tomorrow.
No, because
therefore.
One of the requirements is that he cannot hire anybody other than, like, his wife could work on her
sure.
his kid, but he can't hire anybody to come into the house.
So these fundamentals that we've looked at would not necessarily retro and come back a year from now and say, "Nah, y'all approved me to do, you
mm-hmm.
know, now
no,
I've got my business license, I'm good to go."
You know, if he ended up, let's say, started hiring people, and that's why we notify the neighbors, because if the neighbors start seeing a bunch of cars there or they notice it, that would be a code enforcement issue because that would be not compliant with the home occupation.
Sure.
And if he needed to hire somebody, which would be good because if this expand, he would have to then rent a commercial space.
The sign that's specified here, other than one sign not exceeding 1 square foot, do you intend to put the sign?
No.
What would be the purpose of it? Other than to advertise and draw business, because you've got a street number on there, somebody needs to come over and pick up their computers.
My services is marketing is solely on the web.
So you don't intend to even have a sign?
No.
Got it. All right. Now, all these other things, I think this is my last question on this. These on page 204 here, the 20%, no traffic, da 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 da. And again, this learning experience on my part. Who enforces that?
Is any code enforcement activity is basically it's and I probably get both to the city manager and the city attorney. Our code enforcement space is people calling our code enforcement officer and noticing if they started noticing somebody's car there every day, that obviously that's not normally there. They see that every day a blue Malibu comes at 9 o'clock and leaves at 5 o'clock. Chances are he's hired somebody, and they would a neighbor could call and say, "We think he's operating a true business on a home occupation," and then you know that it would start the code enforcement process.
We've actually prosecuted, believe it or not, city council persons for violating this very ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, and the other example I was going to give you on the fabrication and outdoor storage, mm-hmm. Sometimes you can have folks that are doing home occupation that requires them to actually construct things, have UPS deliveries so many times a day, things along that line. And that's why you have these notes in here. And again, it will be neighbors that will call if the you know, if the things are being disrupted. So.
And it seems like you have good neighbors because none of them are here. So that's a good sign.
Keep feeding them.
And I told him that when before the letters went out, he might want to talk to them because when they get the letter, we did get some phone calls. They were just asking what the reason was, and once we told them.
Right. Sure. Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you. Any other board discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
We need to.
Well, I'll close the public hearing again.
I'll make a motion to approve 2013-PZ14, a special exception to allow a home occupation at 462 Vermont Street South with compliance section 102.415 of the City Code. The request meets the requirements of the special exception criteria in section 90.281 of the Municipal Code.
And can I just have you added that any pays the advertising and postage fees?
Right. Upon paying the fee. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Alderman McKelley?
Yes.
Alderman Lewis?
Yes.
Alderman Stevenson?
Yes.
Alderman Williams?
Yes.
Alderman Sawyer?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, we have board business. The revised site development plan.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. You want to take cash.
Oh. the revised site development.
Yeah, if you remember back, and I think it was your October meeting, you had Mr. Griffiths came to you for a site plan for to use a portion of, at that point, it was still owned by Mr. Anderson, parcel at Energy Cove Port for a store to have a location for a storage tank so he could supply propane gas to citizens in this Green Coast Ramsey County. That site plan was contingent on an off-site pond that existed that was built for the Energy Cove Road with some additional capacity. That was owned by Mr. Anderson. After the site plan, Mr. Griffiths got engineering and then applied for water management district permit, and at the time they ended up they had issues getting the permit with off-site. So they at their decision, decided to change their site plan to on-site, on-site retention, which is what they proposed to the water management district, and they did get approved. And the permit is in your packet. And then in that, they had to come back to it because it changed the site plan that was approved back in September. I think it was approved by you in October and went to the council in November. So in reviewing the new site plan, staff recommended approval with 13 conditions. It's based on a site plan that's 2011-13. There was a typo there, and that the conditions, and I'll read them into the record. That the live oak trees will be planted every 50 feet along Energy Court. The trees shall not be planted in the 10-foot utility easement. Additional trees shall be located around the tank to create a buffer, and that is shown in the plans as proposed. Utility easement shall be covered with ground cover. Stop signs and stop bars shall be located at all exits. The applicant shall coordinate with the electric department for electric service. Pervious surface shall be a minimum of 20% shall be provided on the site. Drainage plans will be provided to the Public Works Department for review and approval. The St. John's Water Management Permit shall be complied with, and any changes to the impervious surface calculations will require an amended St. John's River Water Management Permit. The entrance to the property from Energy Cove Court shall be paved, and the design of the entrance shall be approved by the Public Works Department. All signs for the property shall comply with Chapter 110 of the Land Development Regulations. The applicant shall maintain all applicable state licenses for propane gas storage. Final site drawings, civil, air, landscaping, and irrigation shall be approved by the city staff prior to application for building permit. All comments must be complied with. A 6-foot chain link fence shall be installed around the perimeter of the stormwater retention pond. A wood privacy fence is not an acceptable enclosure for the stormwater retention pond per Land Development Regulation Section 98203. And 13, that the city assumes the applicant has proper authorization to discharge to the adjoining property and flow to the FDOT stormwater system on US 17. And all but the last two conditions were basically included in the first condition, so we're not really giving them anything new. And those really relate to some of the changes in the stormwater retention and that. And Mr. Brown, who's been working with Mr. Griffiths as his engineer, from representing Tocoi Engineering, is here. I guess if you have any questions or comments.
Okay. Could you come, please, and state your name and address, please?
Drop something.
Oop.
Glasses.
I'm Robert Brown. I live at 1986 Tamaqua Trail in Middleburg.
Okay. And you are who to Mr. Griffiths?
Mr. Griffiths is my client.
Okay.
And he is applying for the permit.
Okay. I am actually map challenged. It's hard for me to read a map. So I drove out there, and I'm trying to figure out, as I turn into Energy Cove Lane, is it on the left? Okay. How much property on the left?
It's 1 acre, so you have basically, from the edge of the pond, go about 50 feet. And that's where the property line starts.
Okay,
and
50 feet toward the solar.
Yes.
What
yes,
direction
ma'am.
That
would? Yes, ma'am. That
okay.
would be west.
Okay.
So
okay.
you have 50 feet. That's where the property line is. And then you have about a 210 by 210 foot square.
Okay.
And that's just.
That's okay. So now, is there going to be a different road?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
The road's already paved.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I have a set of plans here if you'd like to look at it.
No, no, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
I just visually, I'm a visual person.
Once you get past his property line, there'll be a driveway going onto this site. That's
okay.
it.
Okay. And then it will be paved into the site?
Yes,
or?
The driveway is paved, both in the right-of-way and on his site.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I was just trying to visualize where that was going to be.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, any other questions?
Is there anything, and granted, I picked up on that, that all except for those last two were in the previous edition of this, the diagram of which is here, but I'd like to clarify, just for my own curiosity, if nothing else, the off-site retention previously planned and presented was the one between the current lot and 17. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, sir.
Do I have the wherewithal to know, or do I need to know, may I know, why?
There was issues with the Water Management District in their requirements. We were not involved with it, but basically in the Water Management had with the pond and who was operating the pond and et cetera like that. And so...
So does the pond not meet specs?
No, no.
The calculations worked. Everything was perfect. The problem was we weren't able to get an agreement with Mr. Anderson on the maintenance of the pond. As it stands right now, Green Cove has no maintenance of that pond, even though it's taking on all the water from the right-of-way that's owned by Green Cove. So the water is going into the pond, and half the responsibility is that of Mr. Anderson to the south, and the other half is Mr. Martinez. Thank you, Marcia Martinez, to the north. When we were putting our water in there, Mr. Griffiths thought there was an agreement already set up. So when we applied to the Water Management District, we thought it was a no-brainer that it was just going to go on through. But they weren't satisfied with the paperwork they were used to seeing a homeowners association or property owners association. And there was no property owners association, and there was in the deed, it was stipulated that Mr. Griffiths would never be required to join a property owners association. So attorneys got involved, it got messy. So what we decided to do was just hold the water on our own site. Now, in order to do that, we had to do away with phase two. Phase one was just the tank and the entry road, the little driveway. Phase two was a loop road that you see on the plan there and a building. Well, that loop road and the building are now gone.
And the parking lot.
So all we have now is an entry road and a T in there for a turnaround and the tank.
And then, a pond.
And then a six-inch deep dry pond.
Okay.
Which brings us to 13, which is the reason why I'm here mostly. The six-foot chain link fence will be installed around the perimeter of the stormwater retention pond. Well, we agree that that's often a very good idea to put a fence around a retention pond. The water management district requires anything over a 3-to-1 steepness has to have it. The issue here is we don't have a retention pond. We have a detention pond. Retention ponds hold water. They retain water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's always wet. And typically a minimum of 6 foot deep, up to 12 feet deep. And so there are jurisdictions like Green Cove that require a fence around it. It's a safety issue. Ours is 6 inches deep. There's no water in it. The only time water's going to be in is during a storm. When the storm gets over, the water perks out and it's dry again. So we don't even have a retention pond. We have a detention pond. It's detained, not retained. So we would like to be I don't know if exempt is the right word. I don't think the ordinance applies to us.
How do we determine that? We get a testimony from St. John's River?
Well, I can show you the
calculator. We're looking in the specs, I guess.
We have the plans right here.
Yeah.
The plans show that the normal the ground level out there is about 20. We're going down to about 19 and a half. And then on the back side, we're putting a little berm up so the water doesn't go over the 19. Mm-hmm. So, the most water that's going to be in there, you might have 3/4 of a foot on the water staging nuts, but you only have basically a 6-inch deep dry pond, which is detention, not retention. Now, I didn't bring the definitions with me, but that is, within the industry, those are the definitions. Retention retains water all the time. Detention only holds it back, and then there is none.
So what is our definition?
Madam Chair, the item number 12 talks about the chain link fence, but it's installed around the perimeter of stormwater retention ponds. So if this is a detention pond, I would say you could probably revisit that one.
Well, detention retention ponds shall be designed to comply with 6242. You need to amend your plan to call it a detention pond so that it would not, because you're looking at the pond, it just says pond, and therefore we have, I'm just looking, that we, since our, Aaron, 98203B, we do say detention and retention system shall be designed. So we have a definition difference. I'm going to look and see if we have definition parts. But there needs to be.
It is called out in the plans as a dry pond. It doesn't say detention pond, but it is called out as a dry pond.
Yeah.
And if you go to the sheet 4, it shows the contours on it, and it's very shallow. So basically, you can come in there and scrape 6 inches of dirt off and take that and mix it over. So on the low side.
Okay.
Here. It doesn't seem to make it a whole lot of sense. Plus, the site is already fenced in completely. All four sides have a fence on it. There's a gate in the front. And no one's getting in there.
Madam Chairman, I'm going to read the definitions according to our land development regulation for a drainage detention structure and a drainage retention structure. So a detention structure means a structure which collects and temporarily stores stormwater for its gradual release. The stormwater may receive prior purpose treatment through physical, chemical, or biological processes with subsequent gradual release of the stormwater. A Drainage retention structure means a structure designed to collect and prevent the release of a given volume of stormwater by complete on-site storage. So if you are saying this is a detention structure, you need to, then you need to call it that way on the plan, since we do have the two definitions.
So dry, which is, you defined it as detention as dry.
Temporary storage. Let me just kind of bring this back to the dais. I think that, if you want to, relabel it or something, that's fine. But as long as it's a detention pond, although the code talks about, the different stormwaters and it makes a distinction, the fencing is only required for retention ponds. I think that you can probably clarify that particular thing. So I don't think it needs to come back.
Not applicable, sort of.
Well, he basically.
Yeah, I think that's taken care of.
It's for a retention pond. If doesn't have a retention pond, then it doesn't comply.
Right. Okay.
You set a plan with that change put in, and we'll be good to go.
I think the board.
And I think we could go ahead and approve it.
Yeah, you can go ahead and approve it tonight.
With the fact that you will submit a new set of plans, or just for that one thing.
If it's not a retention pond, he does need to comply with it, number 12.
Right. So in our recommendation, we can just state that will be clarified.
It's basically, it's the same conditions, because if he makes his plans, the final plans say detention pond, then number 12 doesn't apply. So it's.
How can you make that change?
Yeah.
Okay. I have another one.
Madam Chair, the only thing I was going to say then when you do the motion is you would probably want to make it clear to remove item number 12, given the clarification. But item number 13 would still need to be in there. Because it's our understanding that you're discharging, I guess, the adjoining property. Is that Mr. Anderson again?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So we just want to make that clear for the public record that we're assuming that there's been some dialogue and that Mr. Anderson knows that you're discharging that way into the FDOT stormwater system.
He has been completely unable to contact you. Business phone numbers, cell phone numbers, they've all been canceled, except his cell phone number was still active, but he's not returning calls. However, according to the Water Management District, and I don't know exactly what Greenfield Spring says, but Florida Code says that a downstream property owner cannot restrict the flow of water that was going on his site. If you look at the plans where we're discharging, there's a ditch. The ditch comes right up to our property line. The ditch comes up and stops at elevation 19. Elevation 19 is the elevation of our weir that our water stages up to. And when it does, the water will continue to flow where it has always flowed historically. So because we cannot throw downstream any water more than we did before, and we're not, he can't restrict, we can't impede people upstream from us. And so we've had to take all that into our calculations and considerations when we sent this to the Water Management District. Mm-hmm. They've approved it based upon that understanding.
Right. Madam Chair, all we're trying to do for the public record is we don't need to be in the midst of another potential lawsuit.
Right.
And so that's all we're doing. We're making the assumption that, whatever you've been able to do thus far, and the city is not going to interject itself in the middle of this issue. So that's just here for the public record, Madam Chair.
Okay, number 13 is?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so public record. Okay, any other questions?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Stevens.
Common sense tells me how to leave this alone and forge ahead, but I can't stand it. curious George. It just, it upsets me. I mean, there was, who knows, whatever cost incurred to go back and redraw, recalculate, whatever, and put the detention pond, like the one at the police station. I couldn't figure out why the detention pond at the police station. Anyway, another story. is there anything we could have done, we city, to have helped to alleviate that for future reference? I mean, this just seems a shame to me.
Well, yes. And unfortunately, all that the city could have done was on a previous administration with people who no longer work for the city and are gone. There should have been a property owner association required at when Energy Cove was designed. All of this should have been the groundwork laid, and it should have all been there. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And the people who were in charge at the time petitioned the Water Management District to accept it as it was, and they said, okay, we'll kick the can down the road a little bit. We'll take care of it next time. Mm-hmm. Next time was us. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Anderson, like I said, we were able to get hold of him, and there wasn't great communication. And then after that, no one knows where he is.
It's just heartbreaking to me. I mean, it's just seems a shame.
This has cost Mr. Griffiths many multiplied thousands of dollars. Not just in our fees.
I can see it.
Lost income.
Yes.
Not being able to move his tank
yes.
on site.
Sure.
It's been very expensive for him.
But at this point, there's really not anything we can do, or is there?
Take up a fund to.
Yeah. Besides
well,
that.
Well, we're moving forward.
Besides
and we
that.
Can't go backwards.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
So
answering.
We're moving forward.
All right.
And I'm just glad that he is continuing to want to put his business there. And I think that will be a plus for the city. So,
Madam
we'll
Chair, I just on behalf of the city, I just need to enter two comments into the public record. First of all, the pond in question is owned by Mr. Anderson. It's not owned by the city. Second of all, when this issue came up, you know what I'm saying, about not being able to get your permit, Janice had suggested through the city attorney, because at that point the parties had engaged attorneys, okay, gave them two options. Number one, they could decrease the amount of their impervious surface under, is it 4,000 that you wouldn't trigger the Water Management District permit,
right.
as I recall, whatever that magic number is.
Yeah.
Or, just a moment, please, or you could do on-site retention. Because we, going to, Mr. Stevenson's question, could the city have done anything? We did. We told them those two options. In other words, if I had been the client's planner, I would have told them, okay, at this point, you got two options, either do an on-site pond, you know what I'm saying, or figure out some way to decrease your impervious. And
which
Mr. Griffiths,
pavement?
So,
is that the
yes, sir,
common,
that's things that the water can't go through, if you will. And there are other types of pavings and other types of gravels and things that could be used. I just don't know that it would work this type of truck and this type of operation.
Not according to the Water Management District.
Okay.
They call it all is impervious.
Okay. So in any event, I did want to let you know that we made that suggestion. In fact, I made it to the city attorney, and I'm assuming it made its way down the chain
well,
at some
point.
That's
why we have on-site retention now is because of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So those were the only things that they could do immediately right now to get it done. And with regards to the other issues between the property owners, I mean, the city, you know, those are private property right issues. But I did want to enter into the record that we did make those suggestions rather quickly.
I appreciate
quickly.
That clarification.
Yes, sir.
I'm certainly curious about that. One last
certainly.
Question, if I may.
Go ahead.
With other than item 12, which we've discussed and resolved hopefully here, is there anything else in this program as it stands now that is repugnant to you all, the project itself? No.
As Janet said, we were fully aware of the first 11.
Sure.
You know, and those have all been are in the plan and approved by y'all. So it was just an issue with the fence. It was going to be about $3,000 to put it out.
I'm going to just request, because I've been involved in projects where nothing, not to say anything against Mr. Brown or Mr. Mahoney, the engineer, where there have been detention ponds that are truly supposed to be detention ponds that end up being very wet and become a retention pond. So I don't see any problem leaving number 12 in, because if he's going to relabel his plan to say detention ponds, and that's what it is, then it's fine. Then we leave 12 in, because then sometime in the future, if he ends up expanding and needing, making a retention pond, then that condition would comply. So it's, because especially since the code does specify two different use, it makes a distinction between a detention pond and a retention pond. I don't think leaving 12 in, since he's going to relabel it, is a problem.
Well, that's a condition.
Yeah, but the condition is he's going to revise his plans to show that it is a detention pond. So 12 would not comply if, but let's say, for instance, he does something in the future where he ends up revising his plans, and he has to get, like, he would not have to come back to you if he got a new water management district permit, mm-hmm. and if that water management district permit required a retention pond, then he would have to fence it. That's all.
Madam Mayor, I'm just trying to simplify things here.
Yeah.
I believe that if you did anything to trigger it to become a retention pond, and because you lost phase two on this piece, right, mm-hmm. you know, intuitively it tells me that you'd have to purchase more land, correct?
Or come back to you for, if at a later time, Mr. Anderson, Mr. Gibbons got together,
uh-huh.
and you want to do phase two, we'd have to come back to y'all.
Yeah, I think if you just reference that in the minute somehow, and
okay.
I think we'll be fine, because they literally don't have another inch
right.
of
no.
to maneuver
no.
on that site. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, and again, you'd have to purchase more land, right? So I think that if you
purchase more land or get permission from Mr. Anderson to directly into his pond.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Which is then.
So, I don't know, I just kind of have a problem leaving 12 in there, since that's a condition and that doesn't apply to you. Am I wrong on that? Or should we just leave it as it is, as a condition, but yet you're not going to comply with it?
No, he
but you're going to change the wording.
It doesn't, Madam Chair, it doesn't apply.
You could put if applicable, then.
Or something,
yeah.
yeah. But just to let you know, they would have to come back again. So.
Yeah, it's
either way, it's going to be fine. It's your majority of...
We cannot make it into a wet pond. We cannot make it into a retention pond because there's no reason to do so, because we can't put a building on there, because where the building was going to go, the pond is there now. We can't do the loop road because the pond is there now. So, like you said, we can't put any more impervious on there. There would never be a reason to put a wet pond there, a retention pond there. But as long as he doesn't have to build it now, I don't care how it was.
Right. And we a lot of times, there are times that we do put a condition in there for a future that doesn't really apply but could apply in the future, and that's kind of what, now with this clarification, that's really where we're at. You know, so it will not apply to him because he's going to do a detention pond. So to leave it in there, if he became ever a retention pond, then he would have to come on. It's really not.
So number 12 does not apply at this time.
Exactly.
Okay.
Based on the information
you
provided.
Well, ought we to state that in the motion?
Yes, we need to state that in the recommendation to the City Council. I would like to see it stated in there.
Okay.
That number 12 of the conditions does not apply at this time. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Let me just add one thing, if I might, Madam Chairman. I talked to, at the direction of the city manager, I talked to their attorney after this exploded, I'll say, this unfortunate disagreement between the prior property owner and Griffiths, and he was very thankful that there was a way to get this done quickly through the Planning and Zoning Board and the City Council. So notwithstanding, they had some terrible issues. Those were issues primarily between Mr. Anderson and Mr. Griffiths or his company, and you know, in retrospect, I'm sure when they did their original agreement for the transfer and all of that, it could have been some language in there that might have been helpful to them.
Okay, thank you. Any board discussion? I'll entertain the motion.
We recommend City Council approval of 2013 PC-22, a revised site development plan for Griffiths Gas to be located on Energy Cove Court with compliance with the conditions listed in staff recommendations.
And we want to add that number 12 does not apply at this time.
We're going to add number 12 or whatever.
That's all.
That's
just that
all.
Number 12 of the conditions does not apply at this time. But I added that, so you did. Second?
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Alderman Kelly?
Yes.
Alderman Lewis?
Yes.
Alderman Stevenson?
Yes.
Alderman Williams?
Yes.
Alderman Sawyer?
Yes.
Motion passes five zero.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next is our discussion of the Recreation Trail Program Grant.
Yes, if you remember, I guess back to around the same time, the same meeting in your October meeting, or I guess it might have been your September meeting, the city applied what they called the mini-grant cycle for one a trail at the part of Edgewood Stassen Park called, we call it the Wildlife Corridor. Based on preliminary indications from the Office of Greenway Trails, that we are probably going to get that funded, that piece funded.
Okay.
It's still going through the review process, but we haven't got firm justification. In the meantime, in the stewardship, annual stewardship plan that the city needs to submit to Florida Community Trust every year, we kind of go over what we've done and what still needs to be done based on a management plan that was approved back in 2010 showing the development proposed for the entire, all three phases of the Green Coast City Nature Preserve. In doing that, we realized there's some additional trails that need to be done, and really in the, what I would call phase one portion that were never really done. The Melrose Trail and the Gulf Air Roberts Street Trail. So the Office of Greenway Trails is having another grant cycle. This is their larger one, and we would like to go forward with another grant application. Basically, the timing of this would be that we would submit it by the end of March. Then it's reviewed. We would know in August, September, about whether we scored high enough to get awarded. Then it would be in September, then we would actually get the contract sometime in December of 2013, and we'd have 2 years to complete it. So it would be included in future capital improvement plans, because the money that we submitted the previous grant that's under review right now is in our current budget. We use the match because it's a match program. This one we'll have to determine what we hope to get, and then if we feel when we're going through the budget cycle, we'll have to allocate funds
right.
to meet our match
right.
at that point in time.
So we will know at what point? The end of this year?
Yeah, we'll know if we got funded in August.
Right.
All the applications come in, they rank them, and then they kind of draw a line based on their anticipated budget of what it's going to be. So that, and then they go back and check other things. So that's what they're doing. And but you can see from the map, there's a lot of trails that yet to be built and on there.
And the what is it? Four houses that have to be removed.
Yeah.
I was driving by there today, and those are pretty. I'll be good when those are gone. There's a lot to do. And a lot will depend on the amount of money that we get as far as grants.
Right. And what we're trying to do with the trails that we're going after now, both the wildlife corridor, this one, and I'll tell you, under staff comments, another funding opportunity we've gone after. We're trying to, what I call, stay off for the big part of the Edgewood Stassen Park, because I think the city manager has expressed that really is a regional park that we need to get into discussions with the county on and developing it. And you don't want to, all these grants, if you put a trail in one location and then you go to move it, they're not really happy. They make you pay basically twice. So you don't want to put it in any location that would ever, if you determine, oh, this is where it would be the best place for a softball field instead of a trail, then you're in trouble. So really some substantial master planning needs to go on that large site.
Is that actually in the city?
No. Right now it's still in the county.
Right.
But we were able to...
We were able to
apply for it as a... the city owns it in the county. So
what does that mean exactly as far as upkeep?
Well, the city is...
gets worked out.
The city is responsible for maintenance. We own it, just like we own City Hall and Spring Park. At some point in time, we will annex it, because one of the requirements of the grant is that we change the land use category. Right now, it's industrial IS, I think, in the county, because it was part of the Gustafson property, which that needs to be changed to recreation or conservation. If the city, because it's a 130-acre site, I think Danielle and I estimated it would be about $5,000 to $10,000 to go through the land use amendment process in the county. So obviously we're not going to do that until it comes into the to the city, where we are not going to charge ourselves, you know, for that land use change. So that's an example of something. But at some point in the future, it will be annexed into the city. I think that is the plan.
Okay, so it does not need to be annexed before all these grants.
Right, because we own it. It's based on site. It's what they call site control.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
The parts that we're asking for, the golf fair, that this grant is going to, is all within the current city limits.
Right.
It's only the Ed Gustafson part that's not.
Yeah.
The phase three, basically.
Okay. Yeah, I was surprised when I was driving down to there and I saw where the city limits were. I'm thinking, well, okay. Any other questions?
Yes.
Ms. Fleet, go ahead. Of course.
It's a rule.
It's a learning.
How much is the grant request?
We actually, we haven't determined it yet. We'll look at our points, whether we're going to go 80-20 or 50-50. We have to do a cost estimate as part of the grant requirement. And trying to get this basically packet together and meeting all our deadlines, we haven't determined exactly what it is. The last grant we went after, we matched $30,000 for a $75,000 project. The city manager and I will, and the public works director will just kind of determine how much money we want to go after. So.
It's not a rule of thumb, just go after all you can?
Well, yeah, but you have to match it. But some of that match can be what we call in-kind. If, like, say, for instance, public works department does some of the work, that their salary counts towards our match.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't actually have to be out of, but, you know, outside money, you could say. Mm-hmm. And our guys, like for instance, they did the parking lot. That's an example. If they did the work.
Yeah.
That money is, that's our match, but it's not, you know, we're paying for those salaries
anyways.
But that, so we have to, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to, all that will have to be finalized.
Okay. Any other questions? Discussion? Okay. Would anybody like to do a motion to recommend the city council?
I'll make the motion then. To recommend to the city council the submission of a recreation trails program grant for the construction of Gulf Air, Roberts, and Melrose Trails at the Green Cove Springs Nature Preserve.
Second?
Second.
Roll call?
Board Member Kelly?
Yes.
Board Member Lewis?
Yes.
Board Member Stevenson?
Yes.
Board Member Williams?
Yes.
Chairman Ferrier?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
And Madam Chairman, for point of information on the annual stewardship report, in this past one I just submitted as of January 1st, we told them we were going to be applying for additional grants. We said we applied for one. If we apply and we don't get it, at least we can still say, you know, we're working towards trying to develop that park. The whole idea is they purchased the property with state funds with the intent of being used. So if you know, they want to, if you're never doing anything, then they are not very happy.
Right.
Because they gave you the money to purchase it.
And, you know, that's such a blighted area in there. So I think that would be such an asset to be able to get that done and be able to see that in that area. Okay, discussion of urban forestry grant.
This is another grant opportunity it's a small grant. It's $20,000 is the maximum, and it's a 50-50 grant. But basically what the city wants to do is go over a tree survey. We have some trees within the city that are on our right-of-way that need some help. There's one kind of at the end of the property where you're at where your business is, Mr. Kelly, where that one needs some work, I guess is the best way of saying it. There was also one down by the supervisor, the supervisor election building. There's other properties, and basically what the tree survey does is go through and look at all the property, the trees in the city limits that are on right-of-ways, all on public property, so it's the right-of-ways or parks, and kind of gives a story of, you know, and it gives a book, and so then it's something for us to annually decide, okay, this is where we want to put, you know, on the maintenance, this is what we need to do to get it healthy. These are trees that need to come down over time because they're the unhealthy trees hurt the tree canopy, and this is what needs to be done to these trees to give them more life. So it's kind of a good book that will allow the Public Works Department to do what they do, but they'll have an expert understanding of how to do it. And so part of it is helping them training them on how to properly care for trees, as well as actually a company that will go out and kind of go over all the tree surveys, the trees in the city. Not on private property, just public.
Yeah. Okay, I in the tree that you're talking about, I always thought that it was never a good idea to pave over roots of trees.
Well, you're not supposed to pave within your what they call the drip area, but that, I think, the pavement was done, but it's kind of a... Yeah, the pavement was there, and then the tree grew, and that's what happens. I mean, that's a good or bad example, but when you're really planning a site, a virgin site, as you could say, you look at the tree canopy where the drip as a tree line, and that's where the roots are, and you try not to do anything around it. But we didn't, people when they developed years ago didn't have that expertise, an understanding how to keep trees.
Is that tree healthy? That one right there?
It needs some work. It needs some work. I know we've talked to the property owner, so this will give us some information of what we can do to make it healthier. And there are things to do it. So that's one tree that we'll definitely look at.
Yeah.
But it all helps us. These kind of programs help us. You know, we just got our 24th, and we're embarking our 25th year as Tree City. So what we do to help our trees is also part of our Arbor Day celebration and keep getting us points to be a tree city.
Well, under this $10,000 to be awarded to successful applicants, is that just like an education program that you're hoping?
Well, that's
to
not
get?
The we're going after what we call the tree. These are the your different award categories.
Okay,
we're going
so
at
not, the training's
yeah.
not.
Yeah, we're going after the tree survey category.
Okay.
Madam Chair, it's the one that's called local government program development.
Yeah, okay.
With tree ordinances, tree inventory management plans, that's the category.
So we're basically doing a tree inventory and management plan for our trees.
Okay.
And talking to our county forester when he was here to give the city their 24th year as a tree city, he said that they like the things that help build capacity. So this would be a good guidebook for our public works to improve our trees within the city. Mm-hmm. It's basically what it would give us. So
okay. Any questions?
I do.
Go ahead.
The map or the Google map on the back here, was that just an example to show us what the survey might look like or what it's... What's that all about?
Let me see. I don't have that.
I don't have that on mine either.
I don't have that on mine either.
Oh, you got something special. I don't.
Very strange.
I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's what came in a little.
Don't know.
Okay.
No.
I have a. In as much as I'm the only one with it, I've got a feeling I might know what it is. It may be accidentally put on there from a previous meeting that had to do with the little parks where we were going to plant trees at various and sundry places, because this map happens to be the little park there in front of the entrance to Magnolia.
Magnolia Point.
Yeah.
So it may be that it was put there in error, and I'm looking at that going, I don't get it.
Yeah.
what do I make of this?
Yeah.
Let me make sure that I think I've got this right. We're going to go out and put in for a grant for $20,000 that we would, if we were awarded that, we would need to match that. Is that right?
Madam Chair, on this one, if you look at the, I've done, just as a matter of background, I've done this type of grant before myself. And as I recall, the match that we came up with was in-kind staff support.
Right.
And I think Janice has got a sample on it. But in any event, the thought is that you're not going to be out hard cash on this, that the match will be the staff time, you know what I'm saying, working with the individual. And what they do is they literally run around with like a little GPS thing on their back, and they record the streets and the the street type, and therefore you have this inventory, and you know where all your tree canopy is, and they also document the condition of it.
And
you'll end up with a booklet, you know, that'll have all.
And as our staff is going around, that like I said, that's our in-kind services. They're also learning about how they can better help our trees in cutting them in the future.
Who does the grant, would the grant come from?
It's the Division of Forestry, which is the Department of Agriculture of the state of Florida.
Florida, okay. All right.
I think it actually comes from a federal program, but it stems from the state agriculture.
But this thing doesn't specifically say anything about in-kind or anything like that.
It's in the grant. I didn't, the grant packet is 68 pages, so I didn't. I didn't give you the whole. I just kind of gave you an excerpt.
What does our Public Works Director have to say about this?
I've been discussing it with him. He's very happy.
Madam Chair, what you're ending up with is a report, okay? And it's going to take every tree in the city and give it the condition. And Mr. Knoll, the Public Works Director, is aware of this grant proposal. So it's something that, you know, folks are working on together.
Well, I'm not to be contrary, but it bothers me, as this is written to me, it suggests to me that there is the outside possibility that we're going to hand the public a bill, which is not under the purview of this committee, I think, and I need to get squared way on that. I understand. That's in my brain here. But potentially going to hand the city a bill for $20,000 to count our trees. And I think it's more than that. Come on, give us a break. I understand.
Uh-huh.
However, that bothers me.
Well, Madam Chair,
I don't see where we have a problem.
Right. Madam Chair, let me just make a point of information. These are grant applications.
Mm-hmm.
Staff, this plan board, does not have the authority to bind the city to anything. If the city is ranked high enough and it gets a grant award, then that has to come back to the city council, and then at that point the city council has to determine yes or no, okay? So I just wanted to clarify that this is an application only.
Oh, what if all the tree business goes down the drain, there's no money? Can we still plant trees? You know, somebody might be... If I was chair, they'd like to plant a few trees where we're talking about leaving, or somebody might have some extra trees.
I think we're basically talking
about... Things used to be done
I think we're talking about places that is very difficult to grow trees, but we want to keep the trees that are there at the present time and keep them healthy. Just on city property.
That's
nothing personal.
I'm saying it's on city property, but the places on city property where I may want to plant a tree.
Madam Chair.
What I'm saying is that maybe we ought to look at a long-range program of a volunteer program as a backup program for 10% or something that's better than 100% or nothing.
Madam Chairman, as a tree city, the city council allocates $15,000 every year. It's a percentage. It's a per capita investment into our trees. That's what there's been trees just this week planted at the Clay County Historical Triangle. And those of you that Arbor Day, we're also going to be working at Magnolia Park as well as the medians. So we do that, and this is another program that we're doing. And I don't want you to think that, and we do through when development occurs, we require a certain number of trees to be protected or to be added if there's a large tree. And then if the developer cannot put all their trees on site, they can write a check or provide the trees to others to plant them in other city properties. What really this grant is going to do, as Ms. Judd said, it's going to give us a guidebook, it's going to give us a healthy tree. Sometimes you need to cut down some trees to make the other trees healthier.
Sure.
And it's not the a lot of the most of this grants will be what we call in kind, which is existing staff that is already on the payroll. I guess you're saying they're already budgeted staff positions. Their time to help get this organization, this group together, and to get the plan so that over time we know, Mr. Knowles knows when he does his annual budgeting what he needs to do to get our trees looking good.
Sure, And this has never been done before.
No.
So this is something that we're starting, so yeah. We will have it from now on.
And then hopefully we don't get the situation like that tree is in the corner over there.
If you're looking at this, this is not what they're, the training is not what they're applying for.
It's a survey.
Okay.
It's the survey.
Okay. I thought maybe, because I was looking at this and I was, that's
now,
not what they're
we could spend the rest of the night defining the survey.
Right.
I'm sure we'd have to go read the grant folks.
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea. You've got to start somewhere. And now's a good time as any, you know, have the trees listed and where they are and what kind of condition they're in. And therefore, as time goes, you keep checking them, you know. It's got to be done.
Sure, Madam Chair, I guess the way to look at it is it's a snapshot in time of what the city's tree inventory looks like.
Sure.
And a report card. Think of it as a report
right.
card.
Okay.
And in deference to the comment made by Mrs. Fleet, we are required as part of this tree city designation that the council actually budgets, and that number that Mrs. Fleet mentioned, that's a cash number. And then what we do is we come up with the projects. And in the time that I've been here, we did the three that we just mentioned for Arbor Day. Then the prior year, we did Augusta Savage. We did that center there. We put in irrigation, planted trees, and that was the signature project for that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as indicated earlier, we're doing three different locations, the park in front of Magnolia Point homeowners development there.
Sign right there.
The little pocket park that literally when you come out, not the sign, but the pocket park in there.
Right.
Then we're doing the southern medians on US 17 in front of the Elks Club. And then what was the third one again?
The historical triangle.
Courthouse. And they are actually finishing that. They'll be done with that this Thursday. The irrigation is in. The irrigation is in, and they're going to be doing the landscape around the courthouse proper. So those are our three signature projects for this year, if you will. So.
And you're saying that the $15,000 for 2013 basically would go to MASH?
Mm-hmm. No, the 2013 is the projects that Ms. Judge just read.
Oh.
Those have to be actually tree planting projects.
Okay.
You have the city council, in order to be the application for Tree City, has to you have to put the population, you have to pay a certain amount per
right.
population, and the city has
so
given $15,000.
So the grant wouldn't come out?
No, we're looking probably in-kind services for it has to be towards this grant. Things that our own city staff will do to help get that tree inventory together, whether it's riding around with the person we talked about.
And Madam Chair, I don't recall when I've done a project like this before that number that's in there is the maximum amount that you can request, but my recollection is the tree survey is not in that price range either.
No.
You might want to go back and look at those.
Yeah. This is not, that's why I didn't put an actual dollar amount in.
Right.
I mean, we could only, for instance, we might ask for $10,000 and, well, it could be five. I'm getting a cost estimate for the company that does it.
Okay.
Can I ask another question?
Okay.
Feel this. What is the county tree man's obligation to us? Or is it
the county forester?
Yes.
They used to go out and help us years ago, determine when they were one per county, he could help review the trees that were being taken. They were supposed to be taken down through development.
Mm-hmm.
Now our forester is Clay Duval. He's got like three or four counties, and he's got to. So he helps us when he can. But we've had a couple of issues that we've called him on. He spends a lot. The forestry department spends a lot of time fighting fires. Literally, I mean, the fires. They're the guys out there dealing with that, and that's a big part of what they do and trying to prevent those fires. By making sure people have four fire lanes and things like that. So he spends a lot of his time in Clay and Duval County dealing with those issues.
Okay, any other questions? Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to recommend to the City Council the submission of a 2013 Urban Forestry Grant for Tree Survey for the City Properties and Right-of-Ways.
I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Board Member Lewis?
Yeah.
Board Member Stevenson?
No.
Board Member Williams?
Yes.
Chairman Sawyer?
Yes.
Motion passes four to one.
Next we have board discussion. Does the board have anything to discuss? Do you have anything that we need to discuss?
I have a few things. I just kind of really, I guess you could say, some comments. First of all, before the city council this coming week on the 5th, on the agenda, we will have our first Gateway Corridor grants and CBD grants coming forward. There's going to be three. One is for May use drugs for a new sign, for a monument sign. Another one is for Mr. Knowles, Steve Knowles, who owns the property 1100 Idlewild. He is doing some landscaping improvements. He's going to put a gate on a dumpster and some lighting improvements. And then Cougar Express, which is reopening what was a kangaroo at on Idlewild at West Street. He's also coming forward for some landscaping improvements. And we've got some other people we've talked to. We still coming in, so we're excited because, you know, but I can see really quickly as soon as these projects are going, so tell anybody that is interested, it could go really, you know, the money could go fast.
The money could go
fast. The other thing, as I mentioned, that some other grant opportunities, the North Florida TPO, which is Transportation Planning Organization that the city is a part of, asked us to, they were looking for additional trail projects that had no right-of-way issues. So we submitted, just not to the, what I named, just as they're saying it, is what I call the Green Cove, Cook's Lane Trail that would kind of connect the Wildlife Corridor one to the Palmetto Trail, which is existing. That is, DOT is looking at that. That would, I think, have, if it moves forward, is no match. I just gave the information to the TPO today. They're going to be looking at them and then moving that forward to the DOT. We don't know where that's going to go, but we did want to not put our name in the hat in case there is some funding available. Another fact is I got notification yesterday from the county that the Gustafson's property south of Gustafson Regional Park was a 90 acre parcel of their 1,000 acres that they were asking to rezone industrial heavy. I went to the Planning Commission meeting. It was back in December, I think, or January, whatever, and just talked about some concerns we had more from a buffering issue, even though those are site plan issues, but then we had some concerns related to that. There was some public upsetness about what was going in the asphalt plant, and I think we kind of got the thought started with some of the county who originally had recommended it for approval. They had some advertising issues. Anyways, it ended up, I got a letter that the item has been pulled from the county request. They withdrawn the request. So it is not going to go to the Planning Commission for the re-advertising or the County Commission. And they're going to come back with a planned unit. They call it a planned industrial pit, a planned industrial development, where they can address buffers and they can be specific on the types of uses. So I think that's good, and we'll monitor that's going along. And we got notification because right now it's one large parcel, even though it's pretty far down 315 where they were doing the improvements. It's all connected to the adjacent property that the city owns for the park. And really, that's it. I didn't bring my information about those trainings that I gave it to you at the last meeting, but I think there's one this coming up in March and then one in the following month for some APA free trainings. So that's really it, and I appreciate it. I am going out of town for a conference, and that's why I asked to change the meeting tonight, so I appreciate y'all responding and helping me out. So.
You're welcome. Okay, any board discussion?
When I was driving by Center Street in the Hollerith Art Building, they now have a palmist. Is there anything anybody knows about somebody applying for a license for a palm reader?
I have to go back and what she did apply for, I thought it was massage is what she asked the therapist on that. We did look at the type of uses that she's having. I'd have to go back and read her application. I know that she did ask for, we added a massage person there, which those massage therapists are licensed by the State Department of Health, just like doctors and nurses are. That was allowed. So.
Yeah, because they have to have on the sign the sandwich board type sign right on the corner of Center Street and 17.
I just need to look. I'll have to pull her business license and see what she applied for.
Art studio and palm reader.
On Center and 17.
Yeah. And it's the first house on the left hand side. But the other thing too is that I have is it looks like. Down on the corner between Dick Beasler's old house and right at the end of North Street and the condos, the Hoyt House, there's a big cluster of bamboo. And it looks like there's people sleeping in there or camping in there or doing something. And whether it's kids skipping school and going in there to hide,
Boy Scouts,
or what, vagrants, or whatever, I don't know. And so I don't know whether I think it's on the city right away, and whether the city can go in there and thin it out so you can see through it, because it's very thick. And the city can get in there and thin it out a little bit so nobody would...
Where is it again, Bob?
On the end of... North Street going into the river on the right hand side.
Is that near Jerry Williams' house?
Jerry Williams is
on
the other side of
Hoyt. The Hoyt House. Okay, so it's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's right. Dick Beasler's house.
Right, okay.
And the North Street dead ends into the river. And there's a big cluster of maybe 1,000 or 2,000 bamboo trees, anywhere from 1 inch to 5 or 6 inches around.
Wow.
I mean, it's a great wind.
Whose property is it? Is it on Hoyt House property? Do you know?
It looks like part of it is on the city property.
Oh, okay.
Because of your setback and your easement. But it goes right next to the, there's a concrete drain that goes to the river, and it's right there at the edge of that. So whether or not they can go down and look at it and make sure that it isn't vagrants or tardy kids trying to hide. But I noticed
I'm making notes.
And while you're making notes, I've requested many times, and at the Magnolia Lane Shopping Center, the Internet Cafe or whatever they call that one, they continue to put chairs out in the walkway. So their clients can sit out there and smoke. And this has been going on and on and on. And I think this is my third or fourth complaint on that one. I don't know whether they take them out and then they take them in and then they bring them back out after the... I don't know whether the code enforcement person has ever been by there, but...
Madam Chair, I distinctly remember that one. So let me follow up on that one again, because I did do a follow-up on that one. Because it's those white plastic chairs, yeah, and I'm not sure how they're going in and out, but I'll follow up on that one again.
Well, every time I go by there, they're out. Uh-huh. They are there. And that's not a real wide sidewalk. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's...
News. Family Medical just applied for a permit. They're going to do about $500,000 worth of improvements in that center. So I'm sure.
To begin with, they should not block the sidewalk, and I'm sure there's something in our ordinances that say that they cannot. But on the palm reader, I know that these people can come in and request something under a different name, and such as a massage. And I don't know whether this has happened, but I'm sure you can check that out. Or
I'll check what the business.
We could all go in and ask to have our palm read, maybe. What is that?
Chair, I thought we did a land development interpretation.
I need to go back and check.
Did we not? Okay.
Now, is that a house that's occupied, or is it just a business?
It's a business. Yeah, I've been in there. It's just a business.
Okay.
Yes.
So they're renting rooms, renting
yes.
places out of the business.
Yes. And I need to go back and check because we did a review of that last year.
Interpretation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else have anything they want to bring up? Okay. Well, then we will, if there's nothing else, then our next meeting will be March the 28th. But I would just like to say thank you, especially to Ms. Judd, for all the research and things that you're doing and keeping us straight. And
putting up with us.
Yeah, I appreciate all the work that you're doing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's a group effort.
Okay, the meeting is adjourned.